So very quickly, I'm a PhD student in crop science, and I'm at Washington State University, but I'm actually at a research and extension center in Western Washington at the city of Mount Vernon. My advisor is Stephen Jones. He's a wheat breeder and geneticist. And this project is done in cooperation with Carlo Leifert, who's running a European Union nutrient use efficiency grant. And a very quick introduction to Western Washington. So we are simply separated from the rest of Washington by the Cascade Mountains right here, from north to south. And these mountains really determine the climate on both sides. So the rain shadow effect here means it's much drier here on average, and we're quite wet here depending on where you are. But we have pretty good precipitation rates. And when you think of wheat in Washington, most likely you're thinking of around here, which is the Palouse. And most of the wheat in Washington is soft white, going to the pastry, noodle, and flatbread markets. So this is just some quick USDA ARS data about Western Washington wheat production, because it surprises many that there actually is such a thing. There's more than just wheat. There's barley and triticale and other crops, and it's getting more and more popular. It's commonly rotated with the high-value vegetable and fruit crops in our area, and bulb crops. And just based on these numbers, you can see that winter wheat really dominates the acreage right now. Our average yields are quite good generally, but the varieties that dominate are not necessarily the best ones adapted to our area, so we have a breeding program working on improving those. The wheat growers on our side of the mountains also sell to the big commodity international markets, which sell mostly to Asia, just like the rest of the Washington farmers. But there's a growing interest in localizing our grain economy, so this kind of culminated in this kneading conference we recently held, which brought together 250 bakers, artisanal bakers, pastry makers, maltsters, growers, and so on, from the coastal western seaboard, from BC down to California. So Skagit Valley, where I'm working, the red arrow is WSU Mount Vernon. This whole valley is on the far western side of Skagit County, and Skagit County gets very mountainous very quickly, and that's the Cascade Mountains. We're dominated by this, which is the Skagit River. It's the largest source of fresh water to the Puget Sound, about 30%. There's lots of different crops, 90 crops worth about $300 million, over 24,000 hectares or so. And we're about the same latitude as Munich, to give you some ideas there. So I'm looking at nitrogen environment and its impact on baking quality, but also nutritional quality of wheat. And I'm comparing organic fertilizer types to mineral fertilizer types, and then different rates. So all I'm trying to show here is that I'm having whole plot design, and the colors are the different fertility treatments. And for my mineral fertilizer type, I'm using a sulfur-coated urea, which is slow release, which is important in our area because it's so wet. And hopefully it mimics the release of the organic the nitrogen cycle a little more better. I'm using a poultry feather meal for the organic, and the reason I'm doing that is because it has negligible phosphorus and potassium, so those aren't potential confounding effects. And then to that, I was adding sulfur to get it back up to the 14% equivalent there. I'm growing six different varieties, though I had to take two out in my first year because they just got slammed by stripe rust. So I'm not going to present data on that because it's almost 100% yield loss for those two varieties. And I've since in the second year replaced those two with much better varieties for our area. But I'm trying to represent a variety of different genotypes from different locations and varieties that were bred before the Green Revolution and varieties that were bred in more recent times to kind of explore these various hypotheses that people have that the historic varieties are better adapted to organic systems. This is in my second year, and what I did is I put a fill pass in between my two experimental passes to basically create an underground wall for the nitrogen lateral movement. I didn't do that my first year, and that might have been a mistake. I left it bare. So that's probably going to affect my data, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And then later in the season, we mow alleys to simply separate our varietal subplots within the whole plots. So when we harvest, we know exactly where to stop the combine, the plot combine. My dependent variables really break down into three major classes. I'm looking at just agronomic traits, yield, height, percent lodging, which is tendency to fall over, these basic physiological gauges, stripe rust incidence, which is very important in our area. Then baking quality traits. I'm not actually baking bread. I'm using various baking quality measures on whole wheat, whole milled grain, because that's what our artisanal bakers are very interested in. And then I also did a phenolic acid analysis, and phenolic acids have very strong antioxidant properties, and there's a lot of interest in this from our European partners especially. I'm not going to present any of that data today, but that's a very interesting area. So the first thing is yield, the first thing any farmer thinks about. So I keep the same format throughout all my slides, so I'll just quickly explain it. I have my mineral fertilizer over here in this box, organic over here, and then the three different rates from 0, 85 kilograms of nitrogen equivalent per hectare, 170, 85, 170 again, and then my dependent variable on the y-axis. And then my two modern varieties that I'm showing are in blue, Bauermeister solid line, dashed line for Washington 8022, and then McCall and Relief are my two historic lines in red. Now you can see that two or three times less yield for the historics versus the moderns, and there isn't a difference significant between both of these lines, and they don't respond to increasing nitrogen. Now I don't know if that's my experimental design, and I'll see in the second year if anything changes there. And again, the moderns don't really respond either significantly. Even though this drop-off in Bauermeister looks significant, it's not. And that's what these letter groupings are indicating at an alpha of 0.05. And all my means that I'm using for these comparisons are highly significant. So test weight, which is a bulk density, it's pounds per bushel. And every wheat breeder is trying to get about a 60 pound per bushel. But 57 to 60 is usually regarded as pretty good. Now, what I'm trying to show is, again, fertility treatment didn't have any effect, but what did have an effect was location, only for the historic varieties. So Relief and McCall were the two historic varieties. So again, these letter groupings are showing that they are significantly different in my west, what I'm calling my west nursery, one location, versus my east nursery, my other location. And Relief also had a significantly different response there, whereas the two moderns did not. Now, baking quality, we're thinking about artisanal breads, hearth breads, but actually some of the baking quality parameters do coincide with the traditional measures that are used. So protein is very important. So even though winter wheat is often grown in our area as kind of this throwaway crop, or just kind of the crop in between the two high-value crops at either end, it's important if you're going to grow bread wheat that it has adequate protein, which needs nitrogen. So you need to apply something, most likely, but you don't want to apply too much in our environment because it's very wet and you're going to get all that washed away. So protein is important. Another very common measure that we use is this thing called SDS sedimentation tests. And it's simply looking at gluten strength, and it's very highly correlated in both artisanal breads and your typical pan bread from Safeway or Heb in Texas. But it's also very highly correlated with the overall quality, loaf volume, and so on. So those are the two measures that I'll be presenting on. So grain protein, again, the same sort of format. There was a significant response for the varieties. And again, the blues are the moderns, and the reds are the historics up here. The historics across the board have higher protein than the two moderns, with Relief showing a greater response. However, there isn't a significant response in terms of increasing levels of nitrogen for Relief until you get to this higher end, which is similar to in the organic system, in both the mineral and organic. Whereas the two moderns are kind of responding more significantly across the board, which is kind of interesting. And SDS sedimentation volumes, these are difficult to compare to the literature I'm finding because a lot of people don't adjust for protein, which is going to confound results, which is something that I have been doing, and I have to figure out how to compare it to the literature. But it's been thought that this is under a lot of genetic control, and it's not going to be impacted much by environment, though I have seen papers saying that environment has a significant effect on this. My results show that, for me, the environment, either location or these different fertility treatments, did not seem to have a significant effect on the SDS sedimentation volume, and it's in cc's per gram adjusted to a 10% protein. So even though some of these look significant, they're actually not, as you can tell by the letter groupings, except for Washington 8022, again, which is responding under the urea treatment at the higher end, but it does this wonky thing here, even though this is not significantly different than the control, and this is actually not significantly different than the control. And then you see that protein gauge was not the only good estimator of baking quality because the relief, which had that great high protein, has now dropped off to a pretty bad sedimentation value in comparison to some of the other varieties. But so one of these moderns, Bauermeister, is performing fairly well in this measure, and so is McCall. How much time do I have? 5 minutes, great. So I wanted to present a little additional background because this is all about reducing leaching to the environment and essentially lowering the cost to the farmer too, so you don't have to apply as much nitrogen. So I wanted to quickly just refresh your memory that about 3 times as much nitrogen in the agricultural systems comes from industrial fixation of nitrogen versus biological sources, and about 1/2 of applied N is not recovered. So it's going into the environment, into the water, to the atmosphere. And agronomic efficiencies and the law of diminishing returns means that even though we've increased fertilizer use over a 4-decade period 7 times, we've only doubled the yields. And so this is how wet our environment is. We have these permanent V-ditches dug throughout seasons through a lot of fields to take the water out of the fields over the wintertime because there's so much water. And then this water will drain into these permanent ditches on the perimeter, which go through a whole network of sloughs and so on and end up in the Puget Sound via the Skagit River, perhaps. And then this is how drastic sometimes you'll see standing water in the field. So leaving it fallow, perhaps through additional compaction, and maybe the plants are helping water percolate through the soil better, but in fallow fields you'll often see a lot more standing water versus cover crop fields. And this is just a quick visualization. All the yellow is agricultural areas in Skagit Valley. And this is the amount of dissolved nitrogen in the water. And I haven't adjusted for flow rates, which I will eventually. But this kind of shows you that getting towards, and I took out all the major stream networks, the rivers, and these are just small streams and sloughs and drainage ditches. And so you see that in red, which is the higher level of nitrogen, it's really, agriculture is having an impact on leaching. And we're going to try to parse out what types of agriculture are worse, perhaps, or which areas are worse, geographical areas. And this is another visualization to show you that precipitation is in blue, this dotted line. And this is an average from 2003 to 11. And nitrate dissolved is this black line. And to show you how nicely nitrate moves with water, it's just a good thing to be reminded by. And in conclusion, there was no yield response again. Perhaps this has something to do with my experimental design. I'll have to see in my second year. The test weights were not significantly impacted by fertility treatment, although the historics did have a significant location effect. The higher protein concentration, all the varieties responded to higher protein concentrations, though the moderns had a response across the board. And I probably have to leave you there. But the SDS sedimentation had probably more to do with genetic variables rather than the environment in my case. And so many thanks to my advisor, Steve Jones, Carlo, Steve Lyon, who's our research tech, our funders, which is the EU grant, our internal Goldsworthy Wheat Fund and Organically Grown Company has been giving me money, the USDA ARS lab where I do my quality tests, and I went to the UK and did the phenolic analysis there, and then all my fabulous WSU Mount Vernon people. So,
thank you.
Thanks. Very good question. Actually, I got my historic seed from Kevin Murphy, gentleman sitting in the back, who's a wheat breeder at WSU. You're not going to find grain of historics. However, the USDA GRIN system will give you seed of these, and you start with 5 grams, and you work your way up. What was in the field before?
Yeah, what was in the field?
Well, so there is a lot of organic matter in our area, going up to 5.5% in some of the fields that I'm using. So there was peas rotated through one of my fields, though a lot of the fields were fallow that I use for experimentation.
Yeah,
and another thing is we have very shallow bedrock in some areas, so there could actually be a lot of movement with groundwater of nitrates. Be careful when you apply nitrogen, is what I would say. I applied in about mid-April, and I think the slow releases do probably make a big difference. And then organic inherently will be much slower release in terms of the leachates.
Were you applying your organic compliant nitrogen fertilizer based on the label rate of nitrogen? And did you test mineralization to see exactly or approximately how much N you're actually getting from that?
No, I actually went through OSU's. I speak with their fertilizer folks about. They have done all the research in kind of our coastal areas in terms of how much nitrogen is released over a season, and I estimate 75%.
75% out of 170?
Yeah. Yeah, and sulfur-coated urea actually responds fairly similarly.
Thank you.